Right. And he's going to convince me that we need to get bees in our backyard?
Yes, probably. So have a great day. Thank you for giving us your Tuesday. And stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Close your eyes, let it all sink in.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. He is one of the most famous adventurers in the world, and he is missing. Round the world, record-setting pilot Steve Fawcett went out on a simple flight to scout some land speed record test sites in the Nevada desert and didn't come back yesterday.
We have 13 aircraft in the air right now. We're committing maximum resources to this effort.
Cynthia Ryan at the Civil Air Patrol says it was a beautiful, calm day for flying. That was yesterday. Today, for the search teams, it has been very difficult.
We've got moderate turbulence out there right now, and the nearer you get to mountains, you get a downslope effect where the winds come back up like that, and it can really bounce a light airplane around and hurt people.
No emergency locator signal to home in on, so the search must cover a very broad area. At least 7 people are dead of the scorching heat in Southern California, and the mayor of Los Angeles is urging people to cut back on the energy they are using.
Today I'm putting this call out to all Angelenos. No step to save energy can be too small.
Antonio Villaraigosa also says check on your neighbors. Some of them could very well be in trouble and unable to ask for the help they need. To the south along the southern Baja Peninsula in Mexico, there's plenty of rain. Hurricane Henriette has come ashore, just barely a hurricane now, but a big rainmaker. To the east over Honduras and Nicaragua, Hurricane Felix is still a powerful storm dropping tons of rain over the land.
It's about to move into the very rugged terrain of northern Nicaragua and southern Honduras, and it'll likely weaken to a tropical storm later tonight and then very rapidly weaken as it crosses those mountains.
That's Jack Bevin at the National Hurricane Center says the track will keep it well to the south of the Gulf of Mexico. Good news in a new study. It's okay if the young doctor who's treating you at the hospital doesn't work 80 hours a week.
The studies were designed to answer concerns that patients were being hurt by a sharp reduction in residents' work hours. How could that be? Passing patients from one resident to another could increase risks. But these studies of more than 8 million Medicare and veterans cases show death rates did not go up.
CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato in Washington. If you provide your teenager a cell phone, she really ought to abide by your rules and not live on it, right? Well, AT&T says now parents will be able to limit when cell calls can be made and to whom, set restrictions on talk time and text messages, even set some parameters for ringtones and anything they might want to download. Here's one dad in Dallas.
She likes to talk a lot, and I don't know who she's talking to, so it'd be nice if I could, let's say she had a boyfriend I didn't care much for. You know, I would definitely block that number. Yeah.
Absolutely. Parents dream about this. Teenagers have nightmares over it. On Wall Street, the Dow soared 91 points today. The Nasdaq also jumped by nearly 34 points. Oil prices, $75.08 a barrel. That's up $1.04. This is CBS News.
You've been hearing me up on my soapbox saying it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that. Well, let me give you one that I really want you to embrace. It's okay to feel good about you.
This is Dr. Phil like you've never experienced him before. This is Dr. Phil on Match.com.
Not only is it okay, it's great.
He'll give you insights. Match.com will give you a guarantee. We're so confident you'll meet someone special in 6 months, we guarantee it. So go ahead. It's okay to look. Only at Match.com. See site for details.
You put Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect, you and why. Let's go out back tonight.
Flick go this summer with 2 new No Worries Wednesday mixed grills. Our classic grilled seafood and steak or our bold barbecue mixed grill. Enjoy 2 new mixed grills.
Let's go out back tonight.
Now you can order curbside takeaway online at outback.com. Just click and pick up.
Auto sales still trying to find the right gear for the climb at the big three American car makers.
The overall weakness in the economy impacting car sales, so are the issues with the housing market. That's tightened credit and made consumers nervous about buying big-ticket items like cars and trucks.
We are seeing some middle-income households in particular leave the vehicle market, and that's affecting overall demand.
Paul Ballou is an analyst with General Motors, which saw its sales up partly because it put new incentives on big pickup trucks. The one area still doing well, car-based crossover SUVs. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
When you have very little, small things loom large. In South Bend, Indiana, a squabble over a space heater among the homeless in winter led to the killings of four homeless men. Their bodies were dumped into manholes. Daniel Sharp pleaded guilty. He's been sentenced to 65 years in prison. A co-defendant has also been convicted. His sentencing is on Friday. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
So, I'm driving downtown in my Buick, and I pass by this girl. She's got on those really big sunglasses all the celebs wear. So I'm thinking, someday, she's gonna regret looking like a bug. Real style is never just a flavor of the month. It's gotta last. Like my Buick. It looks and drives beautifully. And years from now, you can bet it won't be out of style. Especially because I take such good care of it by taking it to the professionals at my Buick dealer. Down the Goodwrench service lane.
Can't stop thinking about it.
The other day, I asked for an oil change, four tire rotation, and Goodwrench multi-point vehicle inspection, performed by a GM-trained expert. So it's Goodwrench and go to help keep my Buick running as great as it looks. And that's a picture I won't regret.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Fall is a great time to Goodwrench and go for all your maintenance needs. See your local Buick Goodwrench dealer today or log on to Goodwrench.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Hope you had a fine Labor Day break. I certainly did, and I'm all rested, relaxed, charged up, and ready to go. And hey, they're going to market a new war for us here in September. I hope you're ready for that. You don't launch a new marketing campaign in August. You wait till the kids are back in school. We've got a lot to talk about in a mere 3 hours to address it today. In our first hour, we're going to talk about your diminishing rights in these United States due to the Patriot Act and other power grabs. Matthew Rothschild from The Progressive has written a new book. We'll talk about it. Coming up next hour, P.J. Crowley from the Center for American Progress will join us. We'll get his comments on Bush's sneak surge into Anbar province. He didn't go to Baghdad. He made Maliki come to him. And we're going to talk about the way they're spinning the situation in Iraq in anticipation of the Petraeus report, which he may or may not write, and he may or may not deliver. Congress is back in session, and we've got a lot of work to do to keep the pressure on so that we don't get another Alberto Gonzalez at the Justice Department. Following P.J. Crowley, Jason Leopold returns. He's the investigative reporter from truthout.org. We haven't been able to talk with him. He was on vacation since Gonzalez resigned. We'll also talk about Senator Craig, who resigned over the weekend. And those pesky evangelicals in the military, they even went to save some souls at the Pentagon. Jason's got that story. We'll tell you about it coming up. And if it all works out, Melanie Sloan will be with us as usual. She's the executive director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And they made a very interesting comparison last week about the way Republicans had to get rid of Larry Craig pronto, because his offense related to gay sex. But David Vitter showed up on the D.C. Madam's list, and he still got his seat in the Senate. We'll talk about that with Melanie. And you can join this conversation whenever the urge strikes you. The First Amendment, we think, is still functional. 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number. You dial 1-888-573-8372. And you can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com, and I always appreciate hearing from you. Matthew Rothschild is editor of The Progressive, based in that liberal enclave of Madison, Wisconsin. Visit their website at progressive.org. If you go .com, you got to buy car insurance. Matt, welcome back to our program today.
Thanks, Peter B., for having me on again.
Tell us about the origins of your new book, You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression.
Well, you know, I was trying to pay attention to civil liberties issues in the lead-up to the first Bush war against Afghanistan after 9/11, because we're taught by Howard Zinn and by other people that during times of war, our civil liberties usually get trampled all over. And I was given a talk at a place about a half hour from where I am in Madison, Wisconsin, about the imminent Afghanistan war back then in October 2001. And someone raised her hand afterward and asked me a question whether I'd heard about this local cartoonist up there named Todd Persia who'd just been fired. And I hadn't heard about him. And I asked him the next day from the office here when I reached him why he'd gotten fired. And he said he'd gotten fired for drawing two cartoons. One said, in times of war, the media are banging the drums so loudly it's hard to hear other voices. And the other one was about Big Brother. And I said to myself, wow, if a guy like this can get canned, and it wasn't his livelihood, it was just, you know, $25 a week, but it was his way of expressing himself. If he can get canned, there must be other things like that happening. And so I looked around and I saw stories of columnists who've been fired, prize-winning columnists, for suggesting that Bush should have gone straight home on September 11th rather than flying to Nebraska. One said he was clinging to Barbara's skirts, and another one said he skedaddled like a coward. Both of them were fired, and the editors and publishers issued front-page apologies to their readers for daring to publish such things. So I collected some of these stories and ran a cover piece in the Progressive on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then even as that article was at the press, I got a call from a friend of mine at Voices in the Wilderness down in Chicago. Not a good friend, just someone I knew was working at that great organization that does civil disobedience for peace, and he said he went to their local post office to buy first-class stamps for a mailing, 4,000 of them. The teller asked what kind of stamps he wanted. He said anything but American flag stamps, and she didn't give him the flag stamps. She didn't give him the other stamps either. She called the police, and at that point I figured, well, I better keep reporting on this. So I did a whole series, more than 200 stories at our website, progressive.org, not progressive.com, that gets you insurance, progressive.org, under McCarthyism Watch. And then
yeah.
I collected these stories in this book, You Have No Rights.
Well, and Matt Rothschild, as I read the book, many of these stories I knew a little about or I knew a lot about. But when you put them together and you see the pattern, you see the scope of the police state activities that are underway in America today, and the way most Americans are oblivious to the loss of their rights and actually seem to buy this load of crap that they are safer because their phone calls are being monitored or their library books are subject to being monitored when they take them out. Or do they actually feel safer because it's now legal for the FBI to go to the company that leases you a car and demand to see your file? It's mind-boggling to me that so many people accept this so passively, Matt.
Well, and part of it is that, you know, some people do have kind of a statist attitude toward it, or a naive attitude about what the government can do to them. They claim, you know, people say, well, I'm innocent. I don't care if they tap my phones. They're ignorant about how the government can ruin perfectly innocent people's lives. And the government has done this in the past during the McCarthy period and other periods. But part of it is that people just don't know of the scale and scope of what's going on, because when the mainstream media does get around to reporting on some of these stories, they do it so episodically, so as if these are random stories, disconnected from other similar stories or disconnected from policy, from the Bush administration policy that enables this kind of thing to happen, that people can't really see the picture, so they're not focusing on it.
Mm-hmm. But also, aren't there a lot of people who are just kind of caught up in the whole nationalist hysteria, and they don't want to really ask the right questions? They don't really want to focus on civil liberties and the extent to which they are diminishing, because they're all wrapped up in the victory thing.
Well, there are two things going on along this line that are very disturbing. One is just a general lack of appreciation for our First Amendment rights that people have, even when it's not during wartime. I mean, the Pew Foundation and other polls have showed that, you know, people just aren't that crazy about our First Amendment rights and don't want people to be able to protest about anything they want to, and think there should be more restrictions on protest. And during times of war, as in after 9/11. I mean, there was a poll out, I think, that said 35% of the American people wanted the police to be able to arrest people who were protesting against the war. That shows a great hostility to the basic fundamental freedom of this country. And so that's kind of horrifying.
Well, and Bloomberg took him up on it. Prior to the Republican convention there in the summer of 2004, the New York Police Department sent undercover operatives all over the country, infiltrating peace groups and others who they thought might come to New York to demonstrate. And there are now some 600 different lawsuits that are in process in New York courts right now as a result of that overreaching police activity.
Yeah, and then they had mass arrests during the convention for people who were just exercising their peaceful, nonviolent First Amendment rights in the streets. And they held people over for 36 hours and not allowing them to see a judge when people, you know, arrested for assault and battery get to see a judge within, you know, 3 hours. I mean, that was real police state kind of activity going on.
Mm-hmm. Matthew Rothschild is our guest this entire hour. You're welcome to call. And maybe you have a story of where you were turned in by a clerk somewhere for an innocuous statement or request. Maybe you know of a case where someone was found guilty of driving while a Sikh, wearing a Sikh headgear, and that was misinterpreted as Islamic, and therefore they were subjected to some sort of negative exchange. You want to talk about that? We'd love to hear from you this hour at 888-5-PETER-B. And Matt, you know, I'm an older guy now. I'm in my 50s, and I remember very well, vividly, the COINTELPRO operation of J. Edgar Hoover. I was in Chicago at the time, and I saw firsthand the way the FBI colluded with the local police to commit crimes in an effort to frame Black Panthers and other activists at that time. And it was all exposed, and, you know, we got the FISA law in part because of COINTELPRO and in part because of what Nixon did under the guise of Watergate. And I thought I would never, ever see this again in my country in my lifetime. And it's stunning to me how quickly these same factors have resurfaced, and again, how quickly our political leaders are willing to pass laws that cut right into our constitutional rights.
It's amazing. I mean, this is just kind of J. Edgar Hoover fantasy land we're living in right now. I mean, the things that he did in the late 1960s and 1970s, infiltrating the Black Panther Party, the American Indian Movement, and using agent provocateurs to incite people to do reckless things. I mean, that's going on again right now. I mean, I tell the story about the group of Peace Fresno in California there that had someone who was, in hindsight, someone told me from the group, the guy was taking an awful lot of notes. His name, they thought, was Aaron Kilner. They didn't find out his true identity. He was a sheriff's deputy until he died in a motorcycle accident. His name and face appeared on the front page of the newspapers with a different last name. And so that kind of infiltration is going on. Actually, I heard there was infiltration even going on in Canada at the recent summit of the Canada-Mexico-U.S. summit of police undercover doing this kind of thing.
Well,
I tell a story about Peace Fresno. I tell a story about Army undercover people at a conference at the University of Texas, Austin, which was on feminism and Islam. It wasn't exactly a subversive conference there at all. And also one in Des Moines, Iowa. I was recently in Des Moines. There was a conference there back in 2003, Bring Our National Guard Home, when there were undercover sheriff's deputies at that one. So, you know, it's now legal under the Bush administration because they rescinded the Levy guidelines, the Edward Levy guidelines of 1976. Edward Levy was the attorney general under a Republican president, Gerald Ford, and after the revelations of COINTELPRO came out, he put through some guidelines that said the police have no right to infiltrate organizations where there is no illegal activity going on, and they have no right to film protesters that are nonviolent protests. Now you go to almost any protest, and, you know, the sheriffs, the local police, state police, they all have their video cameras rolling.
The Levy guidelines, how quaint. We'll continue in just a moment. Matt Rothschild is our guest. His new book is You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression. Give us a call, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia Natural Foods Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, and Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m., listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, along with Ava, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105, Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers, with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
I told our people, get information without torture, and was assured by our Justice Department that we were not torturing.
And you need to know, they hate us because we love freedom.
Well, we've never been stayed, of course, George.
And I think it's important in a time of war that to the extent possible, we leave politics out of the major decisions being made.
However, we will not go along with a partisan fishing expedition aimed at honorable public servants. I proposed a reasonable way to avoid an impasse.
Said was the Czech intelligence service reported after 9/11 that Atta had been in Prague on April 9th of 2001, where he allegedly met with an Iraqi intelligence official. We have never been able to confirm that, nor have we been able to knock it down. It's been pretty well confirmed that he did go to Prague and he did meet with a senior official of the Iraqi intelligence service in Czechoslovakia last April.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm proud to be an American.
Well, sometimes.
I'm proud of all the good things we've done.
I'm not so proud of the Patriot Act. I'm really not proud of the NSA spying program recently legalized with amnesty by the Congress.
I'm proud.
Certainly not proud of that doofus who claims to be our president. And my lack of pride could get me locked up for indefinite periods of time, maybe in a Navy brig in Charleston, South Carolina.
And some people say, oh, you're just paranoid there on the left. They're doing a little law and order, and you've decided that's too much for you. Well, take the case of Jose Padilla, an American citizen. And he's got gang background, all kinds of things. We know more about him than we probably should. But I cannot believe that he was convicted based on the flimsy evidence offered in that trial in Miami. And a lot of people say, well, you know, that'll never happen to me. But you really need to look at the way the Bush administration has grabbed more power, limited the role of the courts, and made it much easier for a dictator to lock up even an American citizen. And Matthew Rothschild is sounding the alarm in this new book, You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression. And Matt, just last week you referenced a moment ago the conference in Canada. And my able assistant producer here, Brian Urban, took a very close look at the videotapes. And it turned out that one of the alleged protesters was wearing boots with the exact same insignia on the bottom as all the cops had. Did you see that?
I didn't see it, but I read about it. Isn't that amazing?
It really is. And the cops in Canada ultimately did admit that they had some undercover people who had attempted to infiltrate the protesters.
Yes, the only thing they denied was that they were egging the protesters on.
And, you know, that's not so different from what I referred to in COINTELPRO. Matt, when I was in Chicago in the early 1970s, there was an incident where the FBI and the police staged a raid on the west side of Chicago, and they had infiltrated this group of Black Panthers, and they managed to kill a guy, Fred Hampton, while his wife, who was pregnant with their child, was sleeping right next to him. That was the pinpoint accuracy that they had. And ultimately, the government paid $50 million to the survivors of Fred Hampton for their abuse of his constitutional rights in the process. And again, I thought we had learned that lesson and we wouldn't be back here so soon and in the muck so deep.
I don't know, but here we are. I mean, that was premeditated murder for sure against Fred Hampton. And the power that Bush claims, I mean, I quote a guy, a deputy attorney general who was quoted in Newsweek. I have this in my book, You Have No Rights, who says the president of the United States has the right to assassinate people in the United States. I mean, that's incredible, the kind of power he's claiming to have right now.
Absolutely. Dave joins us from Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on the air with Matt Rothschild.
Hey, Peter. And Matthew, all of this repression, suppression, harassment of protesters for allegedly doing so in time of war, it takes on a whole new ugly added dimension for some of us when we factor in that there is nothing legitimate about this war at all. It has been planned for years. It's all about profits for the very greedy, rich corporations that are benefiting from it immensely. There is nothing legitimate about it. That, when you weigh that in, I think that all the more we need a little less harassment from our police.
Well, and Dave, allow me to tell your story. Matt, Dave has been a loyal listener and a longtime caller for many years, and he has shared with me different emails and communiques that he's either tried to send and was rebuffed or sent and weird things happen. And I believe, Dave, that somebody has hacked into his email. I once received a note from his email account where his name had been changed. And Dave tells me he didn't do that and that somebody did it remotely. And so I can't put it all together. I can only say that Dave has very reasonable concerns that he has been monitored for as long as 5 years.
Well, I mean, Peter and Dave, I mean, the point is, you know, the Bush administration now is claiming the power really to monitor all of us with the new NSA law that they passed. And also Dave's point about, you know, if we're protesting a legal war, it makes it even more galling that our protest rights are being violated. I mean, I think that's true, but...
Yeah. I got to stop here for a break. Sorry, Matt. We'll pick up there as we continue.
Okay.
Matthew Rothschild, our guest on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show, every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., and I want to tell you about my experiences with Monterey Salinas Transit's Bus 55. I personally have taken the bus a couple of times to fly out of the San Jose Airport. What a great way to spend $8 and avoid the headaches of driving, parking, driving, and messing with the San Jose commute. Check out Bus 55 at www.mst.org. I know it works. Bus 55, Monterey to San Jose, runs three times a day. It works.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future, and we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America. Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses, you know we're really bored. People say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans.
continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest this hour is the editor of The Progressive, Matthew Rothschild. He's also a radio guy. He hosts Progressive Radio. And he's got a brand new book, You Have No Rights, subtitled Stories of America in an Age of Repression. And, Matt, at your website, I'm looking at an item from last week about the resignation of Alberto Gonzalez. And you say, you're not giddy, no champagne for me, because, face it, Gonzalez was only doing what Bush and Cheney wanted him to do. Can we expect any change with a new attorney general?
No, I don't think so. I remember when John Ashcroft was the attorney general, everyone was saying, you know, that's as bad as it can get. And then we got Alberto Gonzalez. I mean, I don't think we should think that the next person is going to be any better than either of those two. And John Ashcroft may look a little better from the hospital bed, but he did terrible things to this country. And so, look, it's Cheney's second term here. Cheney's been president effectively for the last 6 or 7 years. Bush is the front man, and Cheney is the authoritarian president. And he has always wanted a more powerful presidency. He's always wanted to aggrandize that office. He has utmost disdain for Congress, even though he was a congressman, utmost disdain for the courts, as we're seeing in a story that's breaking today, that his legal counsel, now chief of staff, Addington, was saying, we're going to get rid of the FISA court if we're attacked again by terrorists. I mean, these people want to saw off the other two branches of government, and they've been sawing away.
Yeah. And it's very fair to blame the Republicans, and that is where, you know, most of the blame lies. They richly deserve it. But we have had the collusion, cooperation, and outright, you know, zealous support of way too many Democrats. And I will single one out here, the senior senator from California, Dianne Feinstein, who has supported virtually every erosion, every bill that leads to erosion of our civil rights and civil liberties in the name of security.
Well, I'll name you another one, Harry Reid. I mean, he was the one who engineered this rollover by the Democrats just recently with the NSA law that gives Bush a retroactive blessing for all his illegal activities with the NSA spying.
Well, let's call it what it is. It's amnesty.
No doubt about it. And it was, and then there's the Military Commissions Act. That just passed last fall.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't right after 9/11. They're still rolling over.
Right. Well, Matt, take a moment here. You know, I was out of the country and didn't get much news coverage there the first weekend in August when the Democrats caved on that. And I'm still trying to piece together exactly why they were buffaloed into another power grab by the Bush administration.
Well, I just don't even know that buffaloed is the right verb, because they were willing accomplices here. They are calculating that, you know, they still cannot stand up against this lawless president whenever the issue is national security or a fig leaf over national security, because they're worried that they're going to have to face ads and negative campaigning in 2008, and they think it might hurt them. I don't think it's going to hurt them. But even if it did hurt them, there is this question of principle. I mean, are you going to ever stand up for the Constitution of the United States?
Yeah. No, I am flummoxed. I really am. I cannot understand why Reid and Pelosi let those bills go to the floor. They didn't have to. And they allowed a leak, an illegal leak by John Boehner, who claimed that there were fewer intercepts being conducted and therefore we must be vulnerable, since they agreed unilaterally to submit all of the wiretapping to the FISA court. And, you know, again, I just cannot believe that the Democrats would participate in a move like that.
Well, you know, I believe it because, you know, I've just grown cynical watching these Democrats for the last 6 or 7 years. It was Tom Daschle, who was majority leader of the Senate there back during the Patriot Act, who told Russ Feingold, the only senator to vote against it, that he dare not introduce any amendments to it. And so that same mentality has been carried right through to Reid and Pelosi here. I mean, where were the Democrats was Feingold filibustering on the Military Commissions Act last fall? And here, with this NSA spying thing that says the government can now spy on Americans without going to any court whatsoever, just going to the Attorney General and the head of the CIA. They're the ones who are going to approve whether this kind of spying is going to go on or not. And the courts have just kind of a vestigial performance to carry out after the fact.
We're talking with Matt Rothschild here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're joined by Greta from Salinas. Thanks for your call, Greta. You're on the air.
Well, I've been bothered for the last 5 years, and yesterday the most amazing thing happened. Many, many ways, hundreds of crimes have been committed against me. Yesterday the most amazing thing happened. It was actually Sunday.
Okay.
I text messaged someone about the bugging, and I got a message back. Your message cannot be sent because of its content. And I walked out to my van and saw that there were some police in the parking lot. I walked over to the police and showed it to him, and he said that AT&T, the carrier, could censor it if they pleased because they were a private company and not the government. I said, well, they're not allowed to read my mail, you know, my email. And he said, oh, yes. And I said, well, they had to read it. And anyway, we went round and round, and he said, if I didn't like it, I'd go to a different carrier.
Yeah, right.
And I was pretty amazed. Anyway, so they have my thing about, they have altered my medical records so that I have a workers' comp injury, and they've said it isn't a workers' comp injury, that I am nuts, and that's easily proven. All you have to do is ask my old boss if it was a workers' comp injury or not. But they have put toxic things in my soaps and shampoos. They have they censor, you know, my phone calls. They turn off my phone. They destroy my car chargers, my CD players.
Greta, I understand what you're saying, and I believe you, okay? I don't want you to think that I'm dismissing what you're saying or minimizing it. Tell me who you think they are, and what is it that they are trying to communicate to you? Is it simple intimidation?
Well, it's intimidation, but it's when it started, I was barely political. Really ramped up. I'm not exactly sure when it started, but I sent an email to the French when Congress caved at the war and said, don't do it. I'm an American. I apologize to the way you're talking to. It'll be a disaster if we go, you know, something like that. And I also sent emails to other people, and other people sort of noticed them.
Mm-hmm.
So
you exercised your rights of free speech and your right to dissent, and you believe that you have become a target and that they're monitoring your emails and your phone calls, too?
Right. Mm-hmm. And they should, like, yesterday, I mean, it was, like, right out and out, and I showed it to the police, and the police said they can do that if they want.
All right, let's get a comment from Matt. Go ahead,
okay,
Matt.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Greta.
You know, if I were Greta, I would get a lawyer and try to sue AT&T for censoring her communications. You know, AT&T got in trouble earlier in August for censoring Pearl Jam when it was improvising some lyrics, George Bush, Leave This World Alone. They apologize and say they never do that kind of thing. But maybe this is another example. And also, I mean, under the Patriot Act, let's remember, even under the revised Patriot Act, and it was sold to us as a great improvement, which it isn't, the police can enter your home. They can have a warrant, but what good is a warrant if you're not there to inspect it? Basically, they can case your house, wait until you go to work, enter your house, go through all your belongings and plant a recording device on your computer and then leave and never tell you about it so long as they say that there's an ongoing investigation of you. This is for at least 30 or 60 days, and then they can get continued extensions for not telling you about it. So there are these powers that the government has now taken, and as you were saying, Peter B., with the approval of the Democrats.
Yeah. Greta, thank you for sharing that story. I'm sure it is awkward for you and difficult, but people need to hear that. And if you were listening to Greta's remarks and you said, wow, she sounds a little crazy to me, consider that one of the things that is probably considered desirable by those who are engaged in this kind of monitoring and surveillance is for people to who figure something out, who can tell that a message was intercepted or tampered with. They want you to think you're crazy because that plays into their hands. And to the extent that people go public and say, oh, my phone calls have been tapped, my email's been tampered with, they want to have characters who appear to be crazy because that makes it harder for average people to believe. Now, Matt Rothschild, in your book, You Have No Rights, you update us on the issues related to librarians. And I learned a few things here because I actually thought that that section of the Patriot Act had been amended and properly fixed. But as you point out, librarians are still vulnerable to national security letters. They cannot reveal to the target that they have received such a letter. And the target may never know that he or she was subjected to an investigation.
Yeah, there was in this revision of the Patriot Act, there was this idea that librarians and maybe bookstores, too, were going to get off a little bit easier. But what was included in the revision was that if there are email services at that bookstore or at that library provided to customers, that no, they don't get any exemption whatsoever. Well, what library in America doesn't have internet for its customers these days? So that, I mean, that's just kind of a joke.
Yeah, but most people like me probably are under the impression, oh, they fixed the library thing in the Patriot Act.
Yeah, and actually they did one thing that introduced something even worse in this revised Patriot Act, and that is they gave the Secret Service the right to designate an event as some kind of a national security event. And any time at that event, for instance, a convention or a WTO conference, any time during that event, even if the president or vice president isn't there, if you are disobeying what the Secret Service are saying as to where you might want to protest, it's a felony up to a year, I think, in prison now. So this idea that we're going to be penned up or corralled into free speech zones and that America in its entirety isn't a free speech zone, that is now in the Patriot Act revised.
Just amazing. We're talking with Matthew Rothschild. He's editor of The Progressive, and he's the author of this new book, You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression. As we return, I want to talk about these free speech zones and what's happened to protesters who had very mild statements on T-shirts and that sort of thing. And we'll also talk about extraordinary rendition, and in particular the case of Canadian Maher Arar. That's coming up as we continue. Your calls are welcome here at the Peter B. Collins Show, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Victoria and the Dust Bunnies, hailing from Columbus, Ohio, scene of the crime, a stolen election in 2004. And that one's called Another Fascist Day. We're talking with Matthew Rothschild, his new book, You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression. And Matt, I'm at the chapter on repression and infiltration, and I can't choose between the grannies, the raging grannies, the Miami protest, the music group that was on its way to perform at the Olympics. You choose one and tell us about this kind of public speech repression.
Well, you know, my favorite one in that chapter is the story about Joe Prevetera. This is a guy who was in Boston, outside the Boston Commons, trying to protest the torture that the U.S. government was engaged in at Abu Ghraib. So he dressed up as the iconic torture victim there in the black hood and the black kind of poncho.
Sure.
And he attached to his fingers a couple inches of stereo wires because this detainee had actually been mock executed. A lot of people don't know that. Anyway, Joe Prevetera knew it, so he and a couple other peace activists, human rights activists, go outside the Boston Commons and set up this exhibit on a sidewalk outside a military recruiting office. And he gets up on a carton and is standing there with arms extended, and the military recruiters start giving him a hard time and call the cops. And the cops come, and so his fellow peace activists say, you know, Joe, it's getting a little tense here, maybe we should go. So Joe Prevetera gets down, takes his hood off, and starts to walk away, and the police say, no, you can't leave. And he says, why? And he says, you're under arrest. And you know what they arrested him for? Making a bomb threat. They alleged that those little inches of stereo wire on his fingers were actually a bomb, when it was quite obvious to everybody that what he was doing there was protesting torture, and there wasn't a bomb at all. They took him down to the police station. They jailed him overnight, and overnight the Boston police officers were telling him to stop reading those communist newspapers, the Washington Post and the New York Times, that in actual fact, our troops over in Iraq are doing a great job.
Wow. Just amazing. Now I want to take a moment to talk about Extraordinary Rendition, and you profile Maher Arar, and many people know about this Canadian citizen. He got called back from vacation early and wound up coming through JFK Airport, and that's where his nightmare began.
Yeah, I mean, this guy was a telecommunications engineer working for a company based, in, I think, in Boston called MathWorks, but he was on vacation. He was born in Syria and was a Canadian citizen. And so he comes back and made the terrible mistake of flying through New York City as opposed to going straight to Canada. The FBI and the NYPD ask him all sorts of questions and detain him. He asked for a lawyer. They never gave him a lawyer. They detain him overnight. And they detain him for about a week, and he finally gets to talk to the Canadian consul, and he says, look, these guys are going to deport me to Syria where I'm going to be tortured. And the Canadian consul says, no, we won't let that happen. Well, they did let it happen. He was sent over on an airplane to a small private jet. The U.S. Agents took him over to Jordan, mm-hmm. and the Jordanians then sent him over to Syria, where he was placed in a tiny little grave-like cell, which he described as being 3 feet long and 6 feet deep and 7 feet high. And he said there were cats and rats atop of the cell who would pee down through the openings of the cell onto him. He was there for 10 months. And the first couple of weeks, he was beaten savagely by guards with a black electrical cable. And, you know, this guy had done nothing wrong. Finally, he was released. He eventually, after about 10 months, came back to Canada. The Canadian government, to its credit, has now apologized formally. The Prime Minister gave him a full apology. The government of Canada gave him $9 million. The U.S. government has given him nothing. They won't even still let him come to the United States.
Well, they keep throwing his cases out of court.
Yeah. They just will not let this guy get his day in court.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people won't get a day in court here. I mean, under the Military Commissions Act, you and I could be called an enemy combatant and thrown into jail. And if we're not a U.S. citizen, the President of the United States could call us an alien enemy combatant and throw us into jail and never let us see a lawyer or a courtroom again. That's under the Military Commissions Act that just passed last fall.
Yeah. And I want to recommend a book written by two San Francisco journalists whose names don't come to mind, but the book is called Torture Taxi. And they hooked up with a bunch of amateur plane spotters around the world, and they were able to track these leased aircraft under dubious, misleading registrations that were actually used by our government to transit people often through European airspace without permission, to destinations where we knew they would be tortured. And it's just a very ugly, ugly aspect of...
Yeah, the authors are Trevor Paglen and A.C. Thompson.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very good book. So about 2 minutes remaining, Matt, what do we do about this? What do you suggest that people who are aware of these issues and want to do something about them, what do we apply our efforts to?
Well, I'm all for, you know, protesting in the streets as often as we can. We also have to pressure our people in Congress to repeal that Military Commissions Act, to take out the worst aspects of the Patriot Act. I also think we need to impeach Bush and Cheney for their flagrant violations of the Constitution. And if we get impeachment going, even if it doesn't ultimately succeed, we'll be sending a signal not only to Bush and Cheney, but to their successors, that you just cannot tear up the Constitution and rule like a king. These guys have put crowns on their heads.
You referenced that every time we start a war, we lose some rights. It's pretty widely reported now that Bush and Cheney are very serious about launching a military assault against Iran. 3 days, 10,000 targets, very, very serious stuff. What will we lose in that transaction, Matt?
Well, that is going to happen without a declaration of war. They may not even go to Congress at all. Then we'll have a president and vice president who are waging a war as two people. Two people in a country can decide to wage a war. That's not our constitutional system. That's no democracy whatsoever. This is a junta. They're ruling like a junta.
Well, very sobering. Thanks for the work you did, and I hope that a lot of people will pick up this book. It's out in soft cover. It's got a blurb from David Cole, who, by the way, is going to be on our show at this hour tomorrow to talk about his new book. Matt Rothschild's new title is from The New Press, and their website is thenewpress.com. You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression. Thanks for doing it, Matt.
Thanks for having me on, Peter.
You bet. We'll talk again soon. And go to the Progressive, no, I'm sorry, progressive.org. There's no the in front of it. Progressive.org, and you can get the very latest from Matt's publication. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news and return with P.J. Crowley from the Center for American Progress. We'll talk about Bush's sneak attack on Anbar province. He was there in Iraq while we were barbecuing on Labor Day. Also coming up next hour, Jason Leopold. We'll talk about Gonzalez's exit, about Craig's exit, and evangelicals at the Pentagon. That's coming up next hour on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Out of all this mess, you'll say yes to anything. If you believe all this, don't cry, don't do anything. Don't
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way Carmel's only bookstore and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel. Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way Carmel's only bookstore and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Especially because I take such good care of it by taking it to the professionals at my Buick dealer down the Good Ranch service lane.
I can't stop thinking about it.
The other day, I asked for an oil change, four tire rotation, and Good Ranch multi-point vehicle inspection performed by a GM-trained expert. So it's Good Ranch and go to help keep my Buick running as great as it looks. And that's a picture I won't regret.
Can't stop thinking about it.
Fall is a great time to Good Wrench and go for all your maintenance needs. See your local Buick Good Wrench dealer today or log on to goodwrench.com.
The credit crisis that shook the stock market last month was touched off by problems with subprime mortgages, people with weak credit unable to make their payments as rates adjust upward. Today, as CBS News correspondent Dan Revive reports, the Fed came to the rescue.
These are unusual instructions from the Federal Reserve and government agencies that oversee banks, thrifts, and credit unions, telling them to examine the home loans they have, especially the ones where adjustable rates will soon jump up, and consider contacting the borrowers to offer help. Doug Duncan at the Mortgage Bankers Association sees this as permission, almost an order.
To see if they can work with you ahead of time before you get into trouble to restructure.
The goal, not to take houses away from people who can't manage the higher monthly payment. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
In the 58 years they've been keeping records, it's never happened before. Atlantic and Pacific hurricanes making landfall on the same date. Felix, a Category 5 storm with winds of 160 miles per hour, tore into the Mosquito Coast of Central America today. It ripped roofs from homes and at least one shelter, knocked out power and knocked down trees, but Jack Bevan at the National Hurricane Center says it's quickly dying.
The hurricane is weakening over land. Maximum sustained winds are down to 75 miles an hour with higher gusts.
Hurricane Henriette has arrived on the west coast of Mexico.
The center of Henriette has just made landfall at the southern tip of the Baja California Peninsula near the town of San Jose del Cabo with winds of about 80 to 85 miles per hour.
The tourists that remain have taken shelter. One woman from Florida said, "We know what it's about. It didn't ruin the vacation, but it ain't helping the case." In Southern California, where the heat wave is blamed for at least 4 deaths, Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa appeals for energy conservation.
Today I'm putting this call out to all Angelenos. No step to save energy can be too small.
Utilities say the demand for electricity to run air conditioners has caused outages for more than 500,000 customers. Iraq's government has failed to meet 11 of the 18 benchmarks set by the U.S. Congress for political and military progress. That's according to a report today from the Government Accountability Office. The U.S. commander in Iraq, General David Petraeus, reports to Congress next week. Today he took CBS News correspondent Katie Couric on a tour of recently pacified Anbar province.
How important was the surge in getting this done?
It gave us an ability to clear and to hold some areas that were sanctuaries for al-Qaeda in the past. And then what happened is you have a situation where you are spiraling upward instead of spiraling downward.
When you're stronger, he said, the people want to be with you. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
You've been hearing me up on my soapbox saying it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that. Well, let me give you one that I really want you to embrace. It's okay to feel good about you.
This is Dr. Phil like you've never experienced him before. This is Dr. Phil on Match.com.
Not only is it okay, it's great.
He'll give you insights. Match.com will give you a guarantee. We're so confident you'll meet someone special in 6 months, we guarantee it. So go ahead. It's okay to look. Only at Match.com. See site for details.
You put Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this summer with two new No Worries Wednesday mixed grills. Our classic grilled seafood and steak or our bold barbecue mixed grill. Enjoy two new mixed grills.
Let's go out back tonight.
Now you can order curbside takeaway online at outback.com. Just click and pick up.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Hey, I went shopping in the used CD shop. Got some fresh tunes for you here. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up later this hour, the return of Jason Leopold, our pal and investigative reporter from truthout.org. He took a couple of weeks off, and timing was terrible because that was the week that Alberto Gonzalez decided to depart Washington. And we'll get some comments from Jason coming up in about half an hour. Joining us now is P.J. Crowley from the Center for American Progress, where he serves as a senior fellow, director of Homeland Security, and he spent 28 years working for the U.S. military, 11 years at the Pentagon, 3 at the White House, and during the Clinton administration, he was special assistant to the president for national security affairs and was also at the National Security Council. P.J., how are you today?
Peter, a pleasure to be back.
Always nice to talk with you, and what do you make of these heroic efforts the administration is undertaking, flying all the top officials for a photo op to Anbar to try to spin up the surge, even faster than those 3,000 centrifuges that Ahmadinejad claims are spinning madly at Natanz? They're really working hard to try to sell us that the surge is working and that the Petraeus report's going to be upbeat and forward-looking.
Yeah, we have competing reports with the GAO report today unveiled on the Hill ahead of the Petraeus and Crocker report next week, and we kind of have competing political narratives. The president standing in Anbar yesterday saying things are getting better there. That may be true, but the strategic picture has not changed. There is still, too significant a level of violence in Iraq for a stable democracy to emerge. There's still, too much sectarianism in the various institutions of the Iraqi government, most especially the security forces.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have another report at the end of this week that'll basically says for the third time we should scrap, or for the second time we should scrap the existing training program on the Iraqi security forces, the police, and start over again. You know, so you know, even with the White House's attempts to put the best face forward here, obviously, you know, there's just a lot of negatives coming out of Iraq, despite what the president tried to do.
So now we're supposed to focus on the short-term successes that they have had in Anbar province, one of the least populated provinces of Iraq. It's heavily Sunni, which means that, you know, this is not necessarily a sign of any kind of ethnic or religious reconciliation. And this is just a snapshot in time where they want us to forget that Tal Afar was supposed to be the poster child for success and transition, and Basra before that. And now we're supposed to be distracted into Anbar province. And, of course, what the administration is not stressing and our media doesn't take much trouble to tell us is that we spread a lot of money around in Anbar in the last 6 months to recruit what we claim is thousands of Sunni fighters. And they, we claim again, want to get rid of al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia. Michael Gordon of the New York Times has written at some length in the Sunday Times magazine about this. And even his reporting makes clear that these are very tenuous arrangements that we have with the Sunnis in Anbar, and one can have no certainty whenever the U.S. stops paying them or we leave that they will continue to behave in the manner that they have recently.
I mean, you're quite right. And I think there's been a lot of attempts here to take what may well be short-term tactical gains and try to, you know, promote them as, you know, strategic, God forbid I should use this term again, turning points. We had so many turning points in Iraq, we're all getting dizzy. That's a real problem. I mean, you're quite right. Really, you know, the Sunnis in Anbar are cooperating with us in part because al-Qaeda perhaps overplayed its hand, so now all of a sudden we're the lesser of two evils, but we're still not liked. And you know, you can't build a, you know, strategic partnership or relationship on that basis. So you know, even though one can point to a particular street corner or a particular village and say there are positive things going on there, you know, the strategic picture is what it is. And what you really don't see, notwithstanding, you know, the surge may have some, you know, transitory impact, but remember the premise behind the surge was always to give time and space for the political process to advance and a reconciliation process to begin. And there's no evidence whatsoever at this point that you see that fundamental change on the ground where these various sects who are poised, you know, whether it's now or 6 months from now, to restart a civil war whenever they see it to their advantage. There's no indication that we've really had seen a fundamental change in Iraq.
P.J. Crowley's with us from the Center for American Progress. He's here till the bottom of the hour, so if you have a question or comment, call us now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, you referred to the conflicting information coming from the GAO, the Government Accountability Office, and there's been a struggle back and forth between the Pentagon and the GAO over the benchmarks and how many the Iraqis have failed to meet. It's now been shifted. There are a total of 18. And as of last week, the GAO was saying, well, maybe three. And the Pentagon is trying to pump that up to seven. And a lot of this is relatively meaningless report card type activity. But the bottom line, PJ, is that our military and political leaders are trying to spin us with misleading use of data from Iraq. First of all, you know, we are proud, Rumsfeld used to be proud, that we were not collecting data on Iraqi fatalities. Therefore, any effort to compare last year with this year, last month with this month, is not going to be terribly successful because the data collection has been spotty and intentionally so in many respects. The Iraqi government has put a lid on the collection of fatality statistics in an effort to try to limit the bad news coming out. What we do know is that there's been a minor reduction of violence in Baghdad, and it's been offset by violence popping up in communities that we thought were pacified. How can anybody spin this as progress?
And really, they can't. And you know, I mean, there are distinctions between the White House assessment. They use 16 benchmarks. The GAO used 18 benchmarks. And the GAO reports, I think, 3 satisfactory grades, 4 partial grades. The White House has 8 satisfactory grades, 2 partial grades. But if you go down the list, actually, in the critical areas, they actually still agree. And you put your finger on one of them, which is there remains far too significant sectarian-led violence across Iraq. That's number one. And number two, everybody agrees that today, you know, the Iraqi security forces are not prepared, you know, to operate independently, and they are not prepared to assume greater responsibility.
Wait a minute.
For security.
PJ, are you telling me that we can't stand down because they're not ready to stand up?
And I'm sure somebody at some point in time is going to suggest that. you know, but obviously, you know, what it really underscores, and I think most sensible Americans get this, which is, you know, whatever is happening in Iraq, it's basically not good. And whatever is happening in Iraq, the current strategy, which is overly dependent on imposing a military solution rather than using the broad means that we have at our disposal, economic and political and diplomatic, the current strategy pursued stubbornly by the president is not working. You know, we should not have been adding troops to Iraq in 2007. We should have, you know, begun to subtract troops from Iraq and find ways to affirmatively hand over responsibility to the Iraqis. And that remains what needs to be done. And whether it's today or 6 months from now, you know, obviously a change of course is definitely required.
And PJ Crowley, what about the latest head fake from Bush, which is that the generals told him that if the kind of security gains that he says have occurred in Anbar continue, that we'll be able to bring troops home? Well, that's a real empty statement, and I think it's intended to mislead Americans and confuse Democratic opponents of the administration.
Yeah, I put more stock. There was an item last week that passed through the news cycle, and it really didn't get a lot of attention, but the outgoing chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Peter Pace, I think as a favor to his successor, Admiral Mullen, you know, threw down a pretty important marker that just said, you know, by a year from now, we should have a substantial reduction in the U.S. force levels in Iraq. Now, you know, so we don't know. The president wants to continue the surge for another 6 months, and then we don't know exactly what he's going to do. Does he just move back from the current surge level of roughly 170,000 troops back down to something around 138,000 troops? If he does that, he still hasn't made the fundamental change, which is, you know, the current military-dominated strategy has run its course, hasn't worked. We have to move in a different direction, and that direction has to involve, you know, the application of broader, you know, U.S. power and influence, but not military power and influence, and try to use other means to convince the Iraqis to take on responsibility, drive down this sectarian violence, and find some sort of, you know, political accommodation that can stabilize the country.
We're talking with P.J. Crowley, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress. If you have a question or comment about Bush's visit to Anbar and the spin that they're working so feverishly on in anticipation of the next 2 weeks of reports, give us a call now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. When we return with P.J. Crowley, I'm going to ask him to size up the Democrats as they return to Washington after their summer recess. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary,
hi,
and
I'm
your
Patty
phone
Ross,
calls.
Realtor.
If it's happening in
what
America,
pops into
it'll
your
be
mind
right
when you
here
hear the word real
on
estate.
540
Security.
AM Radio, KRXA.
Pacific Grove.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, You need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at the very latest and get you caught up to date with a little Tuesday afternoon traffic. I want to mention a problem that's being reported northbound 101 after what they call CTF. It is a some sort of debris. It fell off a truck. It's blocking the left lane. It looks like the truck actually itself is in the left lane as well. And then no major stalls or accidents to tell you about. We're going to give you a little advisory about what's going on in east of Morgan Hill. Got the grass fire in those heavily wooded areas and also around Henry Coe State Park. Of course, it's burned about 5,200 acres. Crews will be making airdrops again today. As far as roadway is concerned, reports that smoke can be seen as far away as Watsonville. That tends to be the truth, and it's not really affecting traffic. Capitola, southbound 1 at Park, we have a three-vehicle crash in the center divide, and the support is brought to you by the NFL. The NFL starts this Thursday night, September 6, 8 p.m., brought to you by NBC, in part by...
Have it in a song. Bush administration Iraq policy, putting out a fire with gasoline. That's David Bowie. I'm Peter B. Collins, and P.J. Crowley is with us, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. And P.J., one of the things that's been going on during the summer recess is that many members of Congress, including lots of Democrats, have gone to Iraq. And they get treated to these, special, I don't know exactly what you call them, but they have a name for it, which is CODEL, I guess it's a congressional delegation visit. That's what it is, yeah, CODELs. And we've got Ellen Tauscher, who is a pro-military Democrat from the Bay Area, saying that they tried to, apply green slime. She called it the green zone fog. And one guy, Jerry McNerney, who defeated Richard Pombo last year, came back and was singing a very different tune. He seemed to have been buying what they were selling. And I'm curious if you think that the posture of the Democrats has changed over the course of this recess.
Well,
remains to be seen. Although I think that in the 8 months we've seen a return to Congress playing its appropriate oversight role as a co-equal branch of government. And I do give everyone on the Hill credit for that, because we've had a rubber stamp in Congress for the past 4 years in our Iraq policy. I actually think that what will be more interesting, because I mean this is not just a partisan divide; it's also an institutional divide. But the real question coming forward is what will happen if you're a Republican. If you're running for re-election next year, you're beginning to look like an endangered species in some parts of the country. And the Republicans have been able to help the president hold on to his surge through the summer, but as we get closer to 2008, I would expect the primary movement's going to be among the Republicans as they, begin to desert the president in larger numbers. So, you're quite right. Obviously, Democrats have the leadership on the Hill, but what will be interesting to me is what did the Republicans hear when they were home in recess, mm-hmm. and what will that do to their calculations in terms of distancing themselves from the president's policy.
Now, I don't know if you were surprised, but I was surprised that last week, out of nowhere, the administration floated a demand for another $50 billion in supplemental funding for Iraq. Gates at the Pentagon claims that he wasn't in the loop on it, which is pretty stunning. Are the Democrats ever going to reject these supplemental requests and say, Mr. President, if you need the money, put it in the annual defense appropriation bill. That's where it belongs. We've got to stop this Enron accounting for the war in Iraq.
Well, in a sense, it's both. There is two or three pots of money that are currently being debated on the Hill. The $50 billion basically is the cost of the surge.
Wait a minute. We approved $100 billion at Memorial Day at the end of May. Wasn't that supposed to cover the cost of the surge through this fiscal year?
Which ends on September 30th, actually.
Right.
Peter, there's another, somewhere around $100 billion in the defense appropriations bill that is also working its way through Congress. So, I mean, this is what the American people have to understand, that the president's policy is not cost-free. It's going to run us somewhere between $150 and $200 billion this year to do Iraq. That is three times what we spend on our own homeland security. I think we do, in fact, I mean, I'm very sensitive to the fact that, there is going to be a bill to pay for Iraq, in terms of getting our military back up to strength once this thing is done. And so this is not the last supplemental that we're going to have to approve. That said, we have to begin to expand the debate to the trade-offs where we're spending $200 billion in Iraq, and that's money that could be spent in any number of ways that could make us stronger in the long run, whether it's homeland security on the one hand, a sensible energy policy on the other hand, helping to address the root causes of terrorism in some of these target countries around the world, helping us regain hearts and minds and legitimacy in the rest of the world. None of this is free either, and so... we do need to focus on that $50 billion and what it represents, which is the cost of the current strategy, and we obviously need to not only shift strategy, but then reallocate our resources appropriately so we're strengthening those elements of our national strategy that will be more effective in the long run.
Well, I'd like to see the Democrats flatly reject any linkage of this $50 billion to, quote-unquote, supporting the troops, and I think that they need to play hardball with the administration and say, put your budget request in the annual spending, not the supplementals, because this is a ridiculous way to go. And at some point, because Congress does have the power of the purse, they need to properly assert that authority.
They do. You're right. But I think what is also going to happen here is, in my judgment, at this point in time, the Petraeus report is not going to really shift the debate of, that good or bad, we can debate. The president wants his surge to run through the next spring when the military says it absolutely has to end or else we will break the force.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably going to get his wish. That may not be what people want to hear, but I can't imagine at this point that Congress is going to be able to marshal the votes for a fundamental change that is legislated.
P.J. Crowley, thank you very much for joining us. I'm out of time. We'll talk again.
There should be a cost on this, Peter and President.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. If your child is having trouble in school and can't seem to focus on schoolwork, and you go to a child psychologist or psychiatrist, there's a good chance that you'll be told your child has ADHD, Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. Critics have said that diagnosis happens too often, but a new study says no, it doesn't happen often enough. Dr. Robert S. Kahn of Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center.
At least half of children who meet strict criteria have not been diagnosed with the disorder, and only a third of children who meet strict criteria are currently taking medicine.
And now comes word that diagnosis of juvenile bipolar disorder has skyrocketed from 20,000 kids to 40 times that, over 800,000 only 9 years later. What is happening? More after this. I want to tell you about a place in Europe that's just waiting to be discovered where breathtaking natural wonders leave even a seasoned traveler speechless. Ancient castles where you can live like a king. Bustling cities where culture, fine dining, and vibrant nightlife meet. The place is Ireland. In Ireland, not a day goes by without something new being discovered. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com or call 1-800-SHAMROCK for your free Ireland vacation planner.
Are you thinking about buying one of those inexpensive memory foam mattresses? Think again. Tempur-Pedic is the only mattress made from authentic Tempur material. The one that shapes and contours to your body, guaranteeing a restful, rejuvenating night's sleep. Those knockoffs don't even come close. Call Tempur-Pedic today at 1-800-805-3495, and they'll send you a free video, a sample of the proprietary Tempur material, and a 90-day trial certificate. You won't get that from those other guys. Tempur-Pedic is the real deal. Call 1-800-805-3495.
Are there really 40 times as many kids with bipolar disorder as there used to be? Or are they just being labeled that way incorrectly? Or have there been these great numbers all along and we just didn't realize it? Could be, says Dr. Mark Olson of Columbia University Medical Center, the lead author of the new study.
The findings either represent that there's been an increase in diagnosis, an overdiagnosis, or that we're doing a better job of recognizing what we previously missed.
Too often, says Dr. Gabrielle Carlson of Stony Brook University Medical Center, kids with ADHD are misdiagnosed as having bipolar disorder.
Of the people who come to see me for bipolar disorder, 20% actually have it.
And misdiagnosis can happen all too easily, says Dr. John LaPook of CBS News.
It's tricky. ADHD and bipolar disease can look very much alike, but you've got to make the right diagnosis because, for example, the same medication that can help somebody with ADHD can actually hurt somebody with bipolar disorder.
The Osgood File. Transcripts, MP3s, and podcasts of The Osgood File can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, let's go!
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters in Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Alberto Gonzalez has left the crib. He's back in the hood. Ah, but the gangster's paradise continues.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying to talk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like. On my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight.
Jason Leopold is no longer on vacation. He returns to the Peter B. Collins Show today. He writes for truthout.org, and his memoir, News Junkie, has just been released in Japan. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We missed you.
I missed you guys.
You know,
it was very difficult to stay away with all this incredible news happening while I was on vacation.
Well, I was really tempted to call you and bust into your vacation, and then I thought, no. No, the guy needs some downtime.
Yeah, well, you know, I had a feeling that I'd go away and something would happen. So I may have to take credit for this. You know? but it certainly is, you know, quite the development in the month of August.
So were you surprised that Alberto Gonzalez resigned to spend more time spying on his family?
You know, I was definitely surprised. I mean, I think that, you know, President Bush had given all the indications that appeared that he was going to stay, that he wasn't going to cut him loose. You know, and I have to say, I feel like I didn't learn my lesson and maybe look at it differently. I'm reminded of when the Donald Rumsfeld episode, when he Bush said that he supported Rumsfeld and Rumsfeld's not leaving.
Well, he is still there, you know.
He's there. He's got a desk there. You know,
as far as I know, Rumsfeld still has a desk and a staff of six, a transition team.
Right. That's absolutely true, by the way.
Uh-huh.
But Gonzalez just, you know, he went back, you know, to the Texas days with Bush, and it just didn't seem like this guy was certainly going to leave voluntarily. So it really was a surprise.
Now, Jason, let's weave these two together, because
sure.
There clearly was a plan for Gonzalez and Rove to leave.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Rove left, and then they gave 2 weeks for the dust to settle, and then Gonzalez.
Right.
And when they first announced the Rove resignation, I was a little puzzled because, as you know, I have speculated that they were keeping Gonzalez around as a layer of protection for Rove.
Right.
And to try to delay the subpoenas and any other legal action that might have pierced the veil of secrecy over there at 1600 Pennsylvania. And in particular, I thought that Rove was involved in the U.S. attorney firings, and that the dissembling amnesia and outright lies of Gonzalez under oath, the perjury, were all intended to preserve Karl Rove in his position at the White House as long as possible.
Right.
So Rove leaves, and then Gonzalez becomes expendable, at least from that point of view.
Yeah.
But aren't both of them in much weaker positions to claim executive privilege and thus obfuscate any attempt to investigate now that they have resigned their government posts?
Well, look, I think that perhaps on the books it may seem that they have a weaker case in claiming executive privilege. But if Harriet Myers is any example, she's no longer in government. She didn't even show up for the hearing claiming executive privilege. And as far as we know at this point, you know, there's the contempt citation. But Bush has already indicated that, you know, if that even goes forward to the U.S. attorney in D.C. or if the Justice Department, you know, is forced to take it up, Bush is going to say, you know, toss it in the garbage, because executive privilege overrides any need or request by Congress to have her testify. So I think that, you know, clearly both of their Gonzalez and Rove's departures from the administration are certainly interesting and beg for, you know, more questions about, you know, what does Congress know? Did they find anything out, or, you know, is the investigation going to lead to additional evidence about their, you know, their own involvement, and even the fact that Gonzalez is under investigation by the Inspector General of the Justice Department. But I think that, you know, when it comes to forcing them to testify, I think that they're in a, if anything, they're safe as long as President Bush continues to claim executive privilege and Fred Fielding continues to write these memos. You know, and the fact that Harriet Myers is out there not even showing up for the hearing is just an example of how it will be handled down the road.
All right. With that in mind, then, what is the calculus? Why did they cut Rove and Gonzalez loose? Why not just hunker down and ride it out?
You know, I think obviously that's a great question. And, you know, it's first of all, let me just say that I don't buy for a moment that either of them left to spend more time with their family, or Gonzalez's, you know, claims that he and his wife were talking about it, and, you know, she decided, or they decided together that he needed to get out of there because he was going to be ineffective, or that he was going to continue to come under scrutiny. I think that, I really do think that the investigation by the Inspector General, the Office of Professional Responsibility, and I'm basing this on conversations I had, believe it or not, when I was on vacation with Bud Cummins and David Iglesias.
Mm-hmm. Two fired U.S. attorneys.
Uh-huh. Right, and these are guys who, you know, career law enforcement officials who believe that those investigations, even though I'm skeptical that it will turn up any evidence of wrongdoing, they believe that those investigations and the people heading those investigations have turned up evidence of not only politicization of the Justice Department, but further involvement by Roe, and more so than we have found, you know, that we know thus far. Now, they did not say that there was any criminal wrongdoing, but when, you know, but they do believe that, you know, the questions that they were asked by the Inspector General certainly provided them with new insight and left them with the feeling that, you know, Gonzalez and Rove in particular are going to be criticized for their roles in this. So it may have been a point in time where it's just, you know, cut them loose. You know, sort of take away some of the impact if that report or additional evidence comes out, you know, when Congress returns or in the months ahead. You know, now that they're gone, they're sort of history in a sense. And you know, the way that the news cycle works, it's, you know, you could already sort of tell that they're gone. The fact that they're no longer in this administration and it's still new, you could sort of get the feeling that anything that comes out now will sort of, you know, dampen that that impact that you would get if they were still there.
Well, we can hear Condi Rice saying, well, that ground's already been plowed.
Right. Yeah, exactly. and I think that it's just going to be, I think that there's really going to be a lot of questions that are going to continue to be asked, certainly by Congress, but it really does remain to be seen, you know, what they'll do. If they will continue to pursue Gonzalez and Roe. You know, I should say that one of the things that came up when Gonzalez resigned was Dianne Feinstein's statement, which is, well, now that he's gone, I'm willing, and these are her words, said that she was willing to pretty much end any investigation.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he decided to leave was, quote, good enough for her. So there's a bit of a disconnect and disagreement among certain members of, you know, both houses on, you know, how to continue, you know, pursuing this.
Yeah. And it is a series of conundra, if you will, because,
right.
you know, clearly this was the best path that the Democrats had developed to date.
Right.
To hold the administration accountable and to get a couple of rogues on the ropes.
Right.
And the president has now removed the targets, and I think you're probably right that the Feinstein sentiment will rule, which
right.
is, oh, gosh, you know, we're just going to be seen as so partisan if we go back and dig through all of that garbage without those people there.
Right. And I think that, you know, certainly they're going to have, they're going to be, names coming up in terms of who's going to replace Gonzalez. And, you know, at this point, there's a lot of lip service. There's, you know, you have Harry Reid and Patrick Leahy and John Conyers, everyone saying that any confirmation of a new attorney general will depend upon the cooperation of the White House. But let's face it, you know, this Congress has surprised us before in ways that they have demonstrated that they're willing to give in or, you know, say uncle to the administration. Certainly we've seen it with the Iraq supplemental bills and the money and just recently FISA. So, you know, it very well could, you know, could be that, you know, the urgency of these investigations are pretty much you know, disappear.
Well, and Jason, because the leadership refuses to even contemplate impeachment, which is the appropriate path to hold this administration accountable, they're left with just kind of empty hands and they're sitting on them.
Right.
And they'll try to divert us into, you know, the issues of the next round of funding for the war, the supplemental and the annual. They're going to, you know, make noises. But I don't see the Democrats, unless there's a huge sea change, I don't see them standing up even against a Robert Bork or somebody,
right.
you know, a clear poke in the eye in terms of the nominee to replace Gonzalez.
Right. And I think that, you know, when you hear Dianne Feinstein saying the resignation of Alberto Gonzalez is good enough for her in terms of moving on, because that's exactly what she meant, you know, that people should be very concerned by that, because that could turn into 40, 50, 60 different Democratic senators or members of Congress saying the same thing. You know, I think the important piece here is that despite the fact that Alberto Gonzalez resigned, he resigned under a cloud, you know, and I'm quoting, I believe, Patrick Leahy on that one, and they should continue to pursue not only his testimony, but you know, whether or not he broke any laws. Now, you know, the revelation by the Inspector General last week is our best hope, you know, of finding out whether, you know, those laws were broken. And again, while I believe that, you know, the administration, anyone working within the administration really lacks any independence, you know, David Iglesias and Bud Cummins and some of these U.S. attorneys who are fired really do believe that the Inspector General is a true, not a partisan, but a true independent figure and will conduct a very thorough investigation. So I think that
we just lost Jason's line there. We'll get him back here in just a moment.
Gonzalez's truthfulness
he's back.
Is something that could turn up something.
Jason, it's not your fault, but your last comments there got cut up. So we're going to take a break and return,
okay.
And we'll be back with Jason Leopold in just a moment. We'll talk about Larry Craig and his wide stance that led to his resignation. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number. Join us, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Nine a.m. to noon. Thanks for joining us. The Ed Schultz Show, where America comes to talk.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
And good afternoon. Let's take a look at the very latest. Talking about a problem being reported in, there's not a lot going on. No major stalls or accidents to tell you about, except some delays. We'll give you that stuff. Also going to remind folks about that big grass fire east of Morgan Hill. Of course, it's in heavily wooded areas around Henry Coe State Park, but about 5,200 acres at this point. And obviously fire units on the scene and not really causing effects to traffic at this point, but we're just going to mention to you. Salinas West Market Street, expect delays on Market Street at the intersections of Salinas and Monterey. New street closures and detours are still in effect. This river will continue until October. Detours also in effect for trucks going southbound on Market as well. And a quick reminder that in Santa Cruz, northbound Highway 1 at Emmeline, the off-ramp still closed.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and during that commercial break, I was feverishly going through the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives, looking for a song that talks about male-to-male sex in a bathroom at an airport in Minneapolis. Couldn't come up with anything more than Sex by Berlin. Jason, you got any ideas? A Larry Craig song?
Larry Craig song.
Yeah.
That's,
I got a wide stance holding up my pants.
You know, I guess I may get a little vulgar here, but you know, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, relax.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to look for that. I've got some Frankie over here somewhere.
Yeah.
So this one certainly came out of the blue,
right.
And it happened back in June, and the senator went to court in early August, and
yeah.
He thought it was just going to go away. And then it was roll call that
right.
first revealed the details, and great detail from the police report there at Minneapolis Airport.
Right.
And it was stunning that within 5 days of these disclosures that Senator Craig had finally submitted his resignation.
Yeah, and it was quite the stunner, just simply because of how quickly it happened. I think that, I read the transcript of his interview with the detective
mm-hmm.
that, that was hiding out in the bathroom there. And let me just say this. It was quite difficult to read simply because this is a man who clearly has been living a lie for quite a long time.
Well, wait a minute. He flatly declared that he isn't
right.
And has never been gay.
Yep.
And what amazes me, Jason, is that the media has never said, well, you don't have to be gay to want to have oral sex with a man.
Right.
There's a term for that. It's called bisexual.
Yeah. It was funny that he said, I'm you know, I'm not gay, nor have I ever been gay, as if it's something you could turn on and off. Which apparently you can't. But, you know, my point in saying this is that, you know, when you read the transcript, it's abundantly clear that Larry Craig had a guilty mind. And the evidence, the back and forth between Larry Craig and the detective, you know, I'm not a lawyer. However, I could tell you that my own experience with the police, as I've, you know, discussed in my book, has certainly, you know, educated me in the sense that there wasn't enough. They clearly did not have really, you know, enough evidence here. I mean, he was, you know, he was there without an attorney, without anyone on his staff, and just wanted this thing to go away. And the fact that he pled guilty, I think, really, you know, was a dumb move. I mean, if there should be a lesson in this for anyone, it's always ask for a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for Larry Craig, this is, you know, these rumors were certainly out there for quite a while. And, you know, the fact that this guy was living, you know, a double life, in a way, is not that surprising. I think what one of the reasons that the Republicans wanted to push him out so quickly was because there is a Republican governor who would be able to appoint somebody to fill out a term, mm-hmm. who would likely be a Republican. I think with, you know, David Vitter, if you recall him and his phone number popping up in that, in those.
The D.C. madam from Vallejo.
Madam, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the governor of his state is a Democrat. So not calling for his resignation was, you know, was it was basically to keep that slim margin in Congress. But, you know, what is remarkable is how, you know, is how quickly this, you know, this happened. I just think the fact that the guy pled guilty pretty much said it all, you
mm-hmm.
know. You know, to me it was clear that any argument could have been made about, well, what do you mean I was, you know, I was touching your foot, whatever. That, you know, in terms of the details, how the explanation that he certainly could have, you know, provided. But I think the... you know, one of the questions that's still out there is how often did he go to this Minneapolis airport and, you know, engage in these illicit activities, if
right.
you will.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I think I heard Ed Schultz talking about it earlier today, and he said, well, there got to be surveillance tapes of that bathroom, or at least the entry to it.
Right.
And you can go back to the senator's travel records and find out, you know, how often he came through that airport. So.
Right. But this is just, you know what, this is, we've seen this, you know, Republicans, this, the issue with Republicans being so hypocritical, you know, to some degree, certainly, he deserves what he got. I mean, he is going out, he's entered his career in disgrace. I mean, he wasn't a freshman senator, his entire career was in politics, in public service. And he leaves in disgrace. And this is just another example of, you know, the homophobia that, you know, that permeates throughout the Republican Party that we're seeing more and more of. And the fact that, you know, these folks are just nothing but hypocrites.
Jason, you get to choose the music on the way out here. I have Relaxed, the Ollie J remix, the Jam and Spoon Triptomatic Fairy Tale mix, the New York mix, or the Jam and Spoon High Energy mix.
You know what? Let's go with the New York mix.
The New York mix, all right. You got it. And we didn't have time to talk about it, but I want to direct people to truthout.org and read the piece you published last week about evangelicals proselytizing in the military.
Yeah.
Right there at the Pentagon.
Right. And I'm going to stay on that because there's going to be a lot more where that comes from.
All right. Jason, thanks. Glad you're back for vacation.
We'll
talk next week. That's Jason Leopold. Read him at truthout.org. And here's the tune he selected. Play us out the remainder of the hour. We're going to head into the free speech zone next hour. Melanie Sloan will kick it off with us, talking about corruption in Washington. And then we'll take your phone calls. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Grab a line. We'll talk to you next. And visit our website where we are upgrading the podcast of the Peter B. Collins Show. Go to peterbcollins.com.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
I'm getting a catchment.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hasn't been heard from since yesterday morning when he took off alone in a small plane for a flight over western Nevada. He might have crashed or he might have made a safe landing but be unable to communicate. The search is on, and State Police spokesman Chuck Allen says they're getting plenty of help.
A number of Civil Air Patrol aircraft, along with resources from the California Highway Patrol, and several of the sheriff's departments that have aviation aircraft that have been assisting us with this extensive search.
Fawcett, who's 63, was scouting sites in the desert for a planned attempt to set a land speed record. In Iraq's Anbar province today, U.S. Commander General David Petraeus took CBS News correspondent Katie Couric on a tour and gave a preview of what he'll tell Congress next week.
The surge has to run its course. There's no question about that. The question is, how can you make adjustments to the force, bring the force levels down, and retain what we have fought so hard to achieve?
In Anbar, he says people are safer and life is slowly returning to normal. The market had another good day. The Dow Industrial's up 91 points to close at 13,448. This is CBS News.
Erectile dysfunction isn't something you want to sing about, but you should talk to your doctor about it. I did, and so have millions of others. In fact, Viagra, also called Sildenafil Citrate, has already helped over 17 million men with ED. Ask your doctor if Viagra's right for you. America's most prescribed ED treatment. More satisfying sexual experiences with my partner. Now that's worth singing about.
Viva Viagra!
Ask your doctor if your heart is healthy enough for sex. Don't take Viagra if you take nitrates for chest pain, as it may cause an unsafe drop in blood pressure. Side effects may include headache, flushing, upset stomach, and abnormal vision. To avoid long-term injuries, stop taking Viagra and call your doctor right away if you experience a sudden decrease in vision or an erection lasting longer than 4 hours. Always remember to protect yourself and your partner against STDs.
To learn more, see our ad in Golf Magazine. Call 1-888-4-VIAGRA or visit Viagra.com today.
Live like a rock star? Don't expect to live very long. CBS News correspondent Dave Barrett has the results of a research project in England.
The WHO knew. Experts studied more than 1,000 rock and roll artists, most of them from this country and from Britain. They found that rock stars tend to crash and burn. Think about Elvis, John Bonham, Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, and Keith Moon. Long-term alcohol and drug abuse were key factors in some artists' premature deaths. American stars lived to be 42 on average. Europeans only got to about 35. Compared to people in general, rockers are 2 to 3 times more likely to face an early demise. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
The head of South Carolina's insurance department says if he's not immune, then nobody is. Scott Richardson, who lives on Hilton Head Island, has been notified that he's among the thousands of coastal homeowners whose coverage is being dropped. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
So, I'm driving downtown in my Buick, and I pass by this girl. She's got on those really big sunglasses all the celebs wear. So I'm thinking, someday, she's gonna regret looking like a bug. Real style is never just a flavor of the month. It's got to last. Like my Buick. It looks and drives beautifully. And years from now, you can bet it won't be out of style. Especially because I take such good care of it. By taking it to the professionals at my Buick dealer. Down the Good Wrench service lane.
I can't stop thinking about it.
The other day, I asked for an oil change, 4-tire rotation, and Good Wrench multi-point vehicle inspection, performed by a GM-trained expert. So it's Good Wrench and Go to help keep my Buick running as great as it looks. And that's a picture I won't regret.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Fall is a great time to Good Wrench and Go for all your maintenance needs. See your local Buick Good Wrench dealer today or log on to GoodWrench.com.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're launching into the free speech zone. And that doesn't mean that we put you behind a barbed wire fence a mile from the president. Nope, you get to call in right here, right now, and talk. My toll-free lines are open and available to you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll be taking your calls all hour long. And if you want to talk about any of the issues we brought up today or something that we have not yet discussed, feel free to call us. It's 888-573-8372 or 1-888-5-PETER-B. And as usual, we kick off the hour with Melanie Sloan. She's Executive Director of CREW. That stands for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Melanie, welcome back.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. And I really missed you, not just last week on my radio program, but I was watching the Hardball Show on, I think it was Thursday evening, and Chris Matthews was going long and deep on the Larry Craig scandal, and he had to go long and deep to find a guest qualified to discuss Republican ethics. He had Tom DeLay come on, and he made no mention of DeLay's own ethical problems or ongoing legal battles, and he permitted DeLay, unopposed and uninterrupted, to launch into a litany of perceived Democrat crimes, as DeLay is wont to describe them, without any rebuttal from Chris Matthews or any mention even of the Republicans who are now sitting in jail because of their ethical problems. It was stunning, Melanie.
That is stunning. And Tom DeLay, as I understand it, did the same thing on the Today Show last week, where he talked about how Republicans were so different because they got rid of their unethical members and Democrats left theirs in, when, in fact, almost every unethical member in Congress right now is Republican. There are two Democrats under investigation, Alan Mollahan of West Virginia and William Jefferson of Louisiana, and there are probably at least 15 Republicans.
Yeah, yeah. And DeLay had to go deep into history. He brought up Chappaquiddick to help his case.
Well, I guess that's what you do when you have nothing new to say.
Yeah. But to the larger issue, Melanie, you sent out a press release last week, which I think framed the disparate treatments of Senator Larry Craig of Idaho and Senator David Vitter of Louisiana, both Republicans, both publicly exposed for sexual activities, or at least attempts at them in the case of Larry Craig. And the defining issue seemed to be, and I guess there are two possible points. One is that Craig's issue related to non-heterosexual activities, and Vitter's was very heterosexual. It was alleged to be a series of encounters with hookers in Washington and also apparently in Louisiana. But David Vitter remains on the committees that he was assigned to. He remains a member of the United States Senate, and Larry Craig doesn't.
That's right. It's really pretty shocking. I mean, Larry Craig has been kicked out very unceremoniously by his colleagues in very short order. And David Vitter got a standing ovation by the Republican conference when he came back, despite the fact that he admitted to a crime, soliciting a prostitute. So both men are guilty of minor sexual misconduct, and yet one gets basically a hero's welcome and the other is hounded out of the Senate. And obviously, I don't think that what Larry Craig did is okay, but I do think that both men ought to be treated equally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one of the other suggestions that came on this program a little earlier today is that in Louisiana, there is a Democratic governor who would appoint a replacement should David Vitter resign. Now, the rules vary from state to state. In some states, even a Democratic governor is required to replace a resigning or a dead Republican senator with another Republican. I don't know the rules in Louisiana, but is that one of the reasons why Vitter hasn't resigned?
I think that's absolutely the reason Vitter hasn't resigned. As I understand it, the governor of Louisiana, who is a Democrat, would be in a position to appoint a Democratic senator to replace David Vitter, whereas in Idaho, not only Larry Craig, they thought, might not run again, and now by forcing him out, they get to put somebody in and get the voters of Idaho used to this person for 18 months rather than have it be a brand-new seat. So here it is. This person will get a distinct advantage, and obviously it's a Republican state anyway, but why not help your chances when you're the Republican conference right now and you're in such deep water all across the board?
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to ethics, you know, I don't believe that sex issues are the only things that we should care about. Ted Stevens of Alaska is being heavily investigated, yet he retains many of his posts.
He retains all of his committee seats, and perhaps that's the most surprising thing, because Senator Ted Stevens is under a criminal investigation by the Department of Justice for bribery investigation, and he had his house rebuilt by an oil drilling company. And yet, despite the fact that Senator Stevens is under this criminal investigation, had his house searched, he's retaining his position on the Senate Appropriations Committee, where he has oversight over the Department of Justice's budget, the very agency that's investigating him. And Crewe asked for Senator Stevens to have to step down from his Appropriations Committee seat. And the Republican conference, Mitch McConnell said no, he's the longest-serving Republican senator, as if that's relevant, and he shouldn't have to step down.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And do you see things kind of falling into place around some ethical standard? Will the Ethics Committee of the Senate get involved in Stevens and Vitter? Or are we going to see this just kind of played out, you know, as it occurs without any real thoughtful or organized approach?
Oh, I think clearly the latter. Although we filed an ethics complaint against Senator Vitter, the Ethics Committee has not suggested that it is taking that up. And as we've talked about so many times, the Ethics Committees are loath to take up anything. It was really a way for the Senate Republicans to force Larry Craig out by saying that there would be this Ethics Committee investigation. But there is no standard across the board. And, you know, the distinctions that the Republicans are trying to make now, why Craig is different from Vitter, you know, that he pleaded guilty while Senator Vitter admitted to the crimes is just is patently ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, it certainly is. And are the Democrats just kind of sitting back and watching the Republicans rip each other to shreds here?
Oh, absolutely. They don't want to get involved in this. They don't want to be even discussing gay sex. Why not let it be the Republicans' problem?
Anything else breaking in Washington on your watch today, Melanie?
Well, just the one other thing that I know you'll be happy to hear about, Peter, which is that John Doolittle has two aides that were just subpoenaed, have to admit that they were subpoenaed, and they'll be testifying before the grand jury.
Oh, very interesting. So that case is alive and well.
Continuing along.
Very good. Well, thanks for checking in from the road today, and keep up the good work there, Melanie. There's plenty to do.
Okay, I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, great. That's Melanie Sloan from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And you can get more information on their website, citizensforethics.org, and it's F-O-R, citizensforethics.org. Well, we're going to take a break here and open up the phone lines, and I'd like to hear from you today. You want to talk about corrupt Republicans? Maybe you want to talk about Tom DeLay going on television on the Today Show and then on the Hardball Show, offering his very one-sided view of ethics problems? Yeah, it only happens to Democrats. And Chris Matthews didn't make any effort to get him to talk about his own ethical problems, past or present. And it's just amazing how these things get played out on our corporate media. So you're welcome to comment on that. We've also talked about the departure of Alberto Gonzalez, talked about Bush's sneak appearance, the third time he has snuck into Iraq. One of these days, don't you think he ought to just, you know, go in the normal way? Oh, I'm sorry. It's not safe for him to do that. And we talked with P.J. Crowley about the way they are spinning the surge as a success, and they're mangling data and statistics in the process. They have also taken a number of American elected officials on very carefully guided tours of the Green Zone and pumped them full of PowerPoint messages to try to get them on board with the president's position. And my question to you is, where are the Democrats? They're back from the summer recess. They've been slammed with another $50 billion supplemental request from the administration for Iraq. And if P.J. Crowley's comment is accurate, he believes that ultimately the Democrats will approve this. And I ask you, how far can you tolerate Democratic complicity in the extension of this war and occupation? We are now 9 months into the Democratic majorities in the House and the Senate. And oh, I know they don't have the votes they need to do what they would like to do. But leadership is what is required at a time like this. And there have been moments. I give Reid and Pelosi credit. We've got a substantial change, I believe, in the behavior of the Democrats. And I'm hoping, but not expecting, hoping that they will see the confirmation hearings for the new Attorney General as a place to expose the wrongdoing of the Bush administration and the rollback of our civil and constitutional rights. And they will lay down markers to say, we will not take an attorney general who lies under oath. We will not take an attorney general who suborns torture, eavesdropping on American citizens without a warrant. And the litany goes on and on. No more Gonzalez's. Doesn't quite have a ring to it, does it? All right, those are my comments. I want to hear yours. Grab a line. We've got lines available right now in the free speech zone, 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. And if you like, drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for a great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at the very latest. See if we can find some new problems that are coming in from CHP. And they are telling us about a problem. Let's see. How about Capitola? Northbound 1, just after 41st Street. It's a two-vehicle crash. In fact, two vehicles partially blocking the left lane. In Pajaro and San Juan Road at Salinas, there is a fender bender being reported there. No other details at this point. We're going to take a little drive on over to Morgan Hill. Of course, we have east of Morgan Hill, you got that grass fire around Henry Coe State Park. Burned about 7,000 acres, by the way. And in Morgan Hill itself, we have an accident with injuries. Watsonville Road at Bowden, two vehicles in the lanes. Paramedics, fire department crews on scene. And no reports on any problems in northbound or southbound 1 from Monterey to Carmel at this point. And Highway 17 looking good as well. This report brought to you by Coca-Cola Vanilla Zero.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 22 minutes after the hour. Bush to Congress. Give me your money, please. $50 billion, and don't ask no questions. Don't give me no benchmarks.
Thank you.
Wow. My ship has just arrived here. Dr. Nick Cole of Manchester, England, just emailed me. Funds of $10 million U.S. have been approved for immediate delivery to you. All I have to do is give them my full name, my direct telephone numbers, and my physical address with zip code. Oh, wow. That's what I've been waiting for. Billy in Capitola, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
So the question is, who's the bigger sucker, you or the Democratic Congress? That's what you're asking us to figure out?
Well, I'm going to delete this just so you'll have no doubt about me.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, sir, you know, you mentioned benchmarks. Clearly, instead of worrying about benchmarks for the Iraq government, maybe we need to set some for our Democratic Congress. What do you think?
Billy, I think that's an excellent idea. We have to start with our Constitution and the...
Whoa. The Constitution?
Yeah.
No, you had that. I don't know why you had that guy on earlier. You have no rights.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing where are your rights? No free speech zone, or America is a free speech zone, or we don't have them.
Right.
I thought I'd been doing that act very well for a while. Why did you bring in a professional?
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
That was Matt Rothschild from The Progressive, and you may recall we dueled with him over the 9/11 issues a while back.
That we can disagree on. The other stuff he's got right.
You've got it.
We do have no rights.
Now let's come back to your point.
Go ahead.
I think that progressives do need to establish benchmarks. And I think that we need to communicate clearly to the Democratic leaders that we need to see them really fight hard and fight to the finish on the occupation of Iraq, not be, caught up in the spin and the smoke and the mirrors and Carl Levin's idea of replacing Maliki, which is just another way to buy time. We have to say the jig is up. It is over. And that's the biggest benchmark Democrats
to. How do we send a message? Do we do a petition? Do we send it? Do we buy an advertisement and say the undersigned will not vote Democratic unless you do the following? What do we do?
Well, one of the problems is that they know they've got us wedged in.
We have to disabuse them of that idea somehow.
Right.
The more I think about my conversation with DeFazio, the more I'd like to have the exact same conversation with every other goddamn member of Congress.
Watch your language there. I'll send you a bill.
All right.
Okay, Billy, thanks. He gets excited, doesn't he? Joe in Brookings, Oregon, thanks for your call. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, well, when will the gutless Democrats show up here? How about never? Remember 20 years ago they let Reagan, Bush Sr., Ollie North and the rest of them off the hook on Iran-Contra, didn't do a damn thing about it. Wouldn't investigate the October surprise theory. I could go on and on and on and on.
You could, Joe, and it's a sorry litany.
Yes. I would like to talk about a place where I think there might be some hope. The fact that there are a few unions that are beginning to show a pair, and that's the Steelworkers Union, the Mine Workers Union, going against the Clintonoid humanoid political machine for once, endorsing John Edwards. And John Edwards here recently has been really strong on the trade issues.
Yes, he has.
Yes, talking about things like NAFTA and GATT and this sort of thing. And,
now, let me ask you, Joe, do you know that the position that John Edwards has taken about NAFTA in particular is that he would like to try to fix it first? Do you think it can be fixed, or do you support Kucinich, who says, on day one of his presidency, he would withdraw from NAFTA?
Oh, well, hell, I'm a Nader Raider that voted for Nader in 96 and 2000. I'm definitely with Kucinich. But John Edwards has definitely taken a populist turn in our direction on the trade issue, and I'm actually considering actually voting for the Democrats in the presidential election for the first time since 92. If John Edwards would name a running mate like David Bonnier, who happens to be his co-campaign manager, or a true populist, someone like a Byron Dorgan or a Peter DeFazio, you'll notice that people of populist thought, and certainly no left-wingers, no liberals, they never even get put on the bottom half of the Democratic ticket. They're always a bunch of centrist buttholes. I mean, that's what Democrats think about the left. Whenever they lose a presidential election, well, guess what? They blame it on the left.
Well, Joe, it's not likely, but I really applaud your idea of David Bonnier. He is a real, you know, working man's middle-class representative who is a firebrand in the House. And, you know, he deserves to inherit the Paul Wellstone mantle. And I think that's a great idea. Like I say, probably not going to happen, but I like the way you framed it. Thank you very much for your call today. I got a couple of callers holding, which means their line's open for you. 888-5 Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm not crazy, but I'm taking your phone calls in the free speech zone, and I've got three lines available. So if you've been hanging back because you think it would take all day to get through, forget it. Give us a call. You'll be a short wait on hold. Brian will answer the phone and ask you what you want to talk about. You'll not be screened for your topic, your viewpoint, only for obstreperousness. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. It's 888-573-8372. And up next, we got John in Carmel Valley. Hi, John.
Hello, Peter. I would like it if you could invite Doug Basham and maybe his wife, Debbie. They're from Nevada, and they probably know Harry Reid pretty well and could tell you and the audience and me a lot about him that we don't know right now.
All right.
And also, if he's able to be on, I would like him asked about whether he knows now why Jimmy Carter's son lost the election to the Republican incumbent mm-hmm. in the Senate race in Nevada in the last November 06 election. When he still had his program, and I used to call him a lot,
mm-hmm.
it was a great show to call because you could, you could easily get in. He wasn't getting as many callers as he would have liked, and I asked him a lot of questions about Nevada, and some he didn't know the answer. Then he did not then know why. I don't remember. Do you remember what Carter's son's first name was in the election?
Chip, isn't it, Chip?
That's his nickname.
Yeah.
I
don't know his given name, but yeah. I think Chip is the
anyway,
son who's running.
Doug had him on for a full hour in an interview, I think in August of last year, and he was so optimistic. He just thought he was practically a shoo-in to win, it
mm-hmm.
sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
So it was shocking to hear of his loss, and I didn't hear it ever mentioned on the news. It was just that he wasn't counted amongst the winners, and then I started asking myself, well, he must have lost, and when
mm-hmm.
I asked Doug about it, he wasn't yet sure, and Debbie didn't know either why
yeah.
he had lost.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll take your suggestion. I love Doug Basham, haven't talked to him in a while, so I will reach out and invite him on the show, and maybe we can make that happen in the next week or so.
Now, and one other thing,
sure.
he was just unceasing and unstinting in his criticism of the whole Bush craziness, and I wonder if he's up the ante since, because boy, he could set off. It was like incendiary things he was saying, and I'm way too cowardly to be saying the things on the air he said. So I'm curious to see where he's at in regard to the whole thing.
All right. I will investigate. We'll invite Doug on, and I hope it'll happen as soon as schedules permit.
I will appreciate it.
Okay, John. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, Peter V. now in Salinas. Welcome, Peter. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins.
Hello, sir.
Peter,
yeah.
I want to take a moment to thank you as often as I can for not just the quality of your program, Peter, and yourself, but the information that you bring to myself as one of the Drive Time listeners. You're just a real critical part of my whole information network. I mean, the quality of people, and I especially mean the Melanie Sloans and And again, the entire crew, you're really important, Peter, and I want to personally thank you for your commitment you make every day to bring us guests and Peter B. Collins.
Well, I'm delighted, and I'm happy to, as humbly as I can, accept your comments. And this is what I love to do. And, Peter, the only thing that grinds me is that we're having intelligent conversations here about what's really critically wrong with our country. And, you know, it's not just me, but the whole country is sitting back and not accessing the information that's here. Tom Hartman is on 60 stations around the country. So is Ed Schultz. So is Randy Rhodes. And unfortunately, our broadcasts are underutilized by the population that needs to hear them the most. And, you know, if you listen to any one of these programs, you can get a very different take on the critical issues that we're facing right now, very different from what you get out of the corporate media. And yet it appears that Americans are so complacent that they're willing to hear the spin and the lies and the manipulation and all of the Paris Hilton crap that is on the mainstream media instead of, you know, taking that incredible step of adjusting their radio dial and saying, you know, maybe I don't need another half hour of Sean Hannity today. I wonder if there's anything else available. I wonder if there are any other viewpoints that I could benefit from exposing myself to.
Well, Peter, I'll add with no level of shame at all is that I jettisoned PBS because I felt they had become NPR, National Pentagon Radio. I didn't find anything that was informing me there. And again, that to me is another real shame, is that the band as you're talking about is so narrow, and there's only so many of my friends I can tell about it. And that's what makes you all the more valuable, Peter. For everything that's wrong with America, I want to say that you, Tom Hartman, and even the big redhead I don't always agree with, that's the best part of America. And I say, I salute you, Peter, and please carry on.
I shall. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate the call. Now to Tom in Brookings, Oregon. Hello, Tom. You're on the air.
Hello, Peter. I'd just kind of like to put a little check mark next to what was just said. I totally agree with that.
Well, thank you, Tom. If you were a right winger, you'd say dittos.
Well, no, there was a time.
Really? Are you a recovering ditto head?
Well, I don't know. Something happens when you get older and not working every day and have a chance to think about stuff. Or whatever. Something happens anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to apologize first because I think I'm going to be a little bit off topic, but not totally.
There isn't a topic here, so you can't be off topic. So
today,
hold your apology.
Earlier today, there was talk of why the Democratic Congress was not really living up to our expectations.
Mm-hmm.
We've been hopeful. Because you know, we're hoping they're going to kind of clean the slate. The Republicans are going to go away. You know, everybody had been happy, or at least a lot of people in my community would have been happy.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about a group of presidential candidates. And many of those candidates are coming from the same group that we either want to go away or we're disparaging because they didn't make them go away. And I don't understand the rationale of why we could tolerate leaders coming from the group that we think so little of.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a question.
Well, Tom, you raise a couple of important issues here. First of all, let's just look at the big picture here of where our presidents come from. You know, in our lifetimes, most of them have been governors. The exceptions are people who came up through the ranks and who were a vice president, like Poppy Bush, you know, like LBJ. But most of our presidents have been governors, and I don't particularly see the wisdom of that. Because a lot of them come from relatively small states like Arkansas. And you're saying that being a chief executive of Arkansas prepares you to be president of the United States? I think Ross Perot dismissed Clinton's resume pretty powerfully back in 92 when, you know, he compared Arkansas to the companies that Perot has run, and, you know, they don't even qualify as a division. So we've got some anomalies to deal with there. Then we have the presidential primary system, which is a mess, and it empowers Iowa and New Hampshire at the expense of the rest of the country. And then we get to the problems in Washington, the incumbents, and the people who rise from that pool to run for president. And while I understand your point that people in Washington are seen as being part of the problem, we also have to respect that in order to function properly in Washington, you at least need to know, you know, where the Capitol is and how you get on that little train to go from the Senate
I understand
to the House.
That running the country is got to be a major problem. No one individual can do it, even though we have this idea that they do. That getting advisors, making decisions is a horrendous responsibility and a task.
Mm-hmm.
And so experience along those lines is important.
And we don't do ourselves any favors by continuing to permit the system of campaign finance, which is open bribery, to be used to fund our political campaigns. And at some point, we've just got to accept that due to the Supreme Court decisions, the only way to get money out of presidential politics is to use taxpayer money to pay for the campaigns. And we got to come up with a fair system for allocating and distributing and qualifying candidates for it. But as long as we're operating in the mode we are, we're going to continue to get garbage in, garbage out.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
I think that it might be a little easier to accept what I'm saying about our current president. But I think he's just a tool. He's a tool of the Republican establishment.
Mm-hmm.
People come together and support this guy because they think he's manipulable and will represent, and people can put their fingers on him and he'll represent the powers that be in the Republican Party. But I think the same thing can be said about the Democratic Party, that people don't just hold back money because they're Democrats if you're a businessman. They're given money, too, to get power and influence.
Well, you bet. And the Democrats are getting more money right now than the Republicans.
Sure. And so that's where the salvation probably comes, is that there's change. That's my point, is that mm-hmm. the issue isn't who's better or who's worse, who's going to do more or less. It's change. Just kind of disrupt the system a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like to suggest that another way we can fit into that process is to not elect any incumbents. I think that every incumbent going should get a chance to let should give the chance to let somebody else go and provide the responsible duties of a representative.
Mm-hmm. And who will be the first altruistic incumbent to step forward and say, my time's up?
Nobody. Absolutely nobody. They're entrenched just as any of us would be if somebody's threatening our job. I'm mm-hmm. not saying it's going to be easy. I'm just saying as voters,
yeah.
my pleasure this year is going to be voting for a party member who represents an ideal and voting against an incumbent. And I'm thinking that I'm going to be serving my country better that way than if I just try to blindly follow party politics mm-hmm. and idealistic things. Look at all the Republicans are saying now. Look how they're distancing themselves from all of the bad actors. It's all politics. It's not altruism. It's not we want to have impeachment because they think impeachment's necessary. They're just trying to distance themselves so they don't lose their position.
Tom, I appreciate your call today. You're very thoughtful.
Yeah,
and
sorry about the rant.
Oh, stop apologizing, will you?
Yeah.
I appreciate the call. You can rant all you want. If you call and apologize, I'm going to hang up on you. We've got to have some discipline here. There's room for another call or two if you want to join us. I'd like to hear your thoughts. 888-5-PETER-B. 1-888-573-8372. Want to drop me an email? Try bigmouth@peterbcollins.com.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts.
offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at the latest and get you caught up to date as you folks make your way home tonight. Well, we're going to start off with a Morgan Hill problem. It's Watsonville Road at Bowden. In court, it's an injury crash. Two vehicles blocking lanes. We do have fire department and paramedic units on scene. Pajaro, San Juan Road at Salinas Road. We have an accident reported there. Capitola, northbound Highway 1 after 31st. Two vehicle crash, partially blocking the left lane. It does appear that is now in the clearing stages. San Juan Batista, Bentonville Road at 101, reports of a crash there, and this report brought to you by Flex Your Power. State officials have called for a Flex Alert. Turn off all unnecessary lights, use appliances after 7 p.m., and you must use your air conditioner to set it at 78 degrees. For more information, go to FlexYourPower.org. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. We're in the free speech zone. Lines available for you. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Chris in Salinas, you're next. Welcome.
How you doing, Peter?
I'm doing okay. Chris, before you get to your comment, I just wanted to alert you, because I know you're one of my favorite election protection listeners, that the Holt Bill, H.R. 811, may come to a floor vote in the House as early as this week.
Yeah, I heard tomorrow.
Yeah.
But, yeah, put a call out for everybody to call their congressperson and tell them to vote no.
Yeah, vote no. It's not
or,
perfect.
Or introduce a ban on DRE.
As an amendment.
That's right.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to see that happen.
You were talking about complacency of Americans, and I had a conversation with my neighbor this weekend, and basically he, you know, he's a union guy. The union has done him right. He makes a fair amount of money, and he says that he doesn't care because as long as he has money in his wallet and he can make his payments, he don't care. You know, I just wanted to strangle him, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand where people stand on this. You know, he doesn't know anything. He couldn't tell you the first sentence of the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence or any of that.
Well, it is a sad commentary that we have so many people who can recite baseball statistics, they know the NASCAR numbers, they know all the NFL numbers, but they don't have any interest in learning about the critical losses in their freedoms and their rights that have occurred while they're watching American Idol.
Yeah, I mean, what I don't understand is that when his wallet is empty, then what's he going to do? You know?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand it anymore.
Yeah.
But you just got to keep up the good fight.
All right, Chris, thank you very much. Good to hear from
all
you.
Right, bye.
Now to Laird in Eureka. Hello, Laird. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
How's it going?
First of all, I'd like to kind of make a comment about the lady that called pretty early on. Respect to her, but 10 years ago that would have been a kind of a chuckle. But, well, today, let me put it a little different. I used to worry about the Taliban in the 90s,
right.
And now I think I found the cure for that. They don't bother me much anymore now. It's my own government
yeah.
that got me worried.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's there's a thing going on in Arkansas. The ex-governor has been, I'm not real clear on it. I just heard something about it the other day. He's been prosecuted and convicted and given a long prison sentence for voting fraud.
Well, you're talking about Jim Guy Tucker,
I think. Yes.
Uh-huh.
What do you know about that?
Well, I just dug a story up here. This goes back a few years. This is 1996.
Well, they've recharged him now. Because they claim from his prison cell he is stirring up anti-government hatred or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway, that was I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to have to. Well, here's something here. Let's see if this works. I'm looking at the internet, and I just clicked on a link dated September 1st, but it didn't help. So I will have to investigate. I don't know the latest about Jim Guy Tucker, honestly.
Yeah, it sounds like a real potboy. It sounds like something that is just over the top.
Well, the one I want investigated is this guy Siegelman in Alabama, because it appears that he was a victim.
That's him. That's who I'm talking about. Yes.
Okay. Siegelman, he has been convicted of a fraud related to this guy Scrushy. And the issue was that Scrushy gave him a big campaign contribution, and he named Scrushy to some appointed position. But the backstory appears to be that Siegelman was nailed by the U.S. attorney, whose husband, a woman, whose husband is a political consultant who was working for the man who won the election, and they believe the election was fraudulently fixed.
Right.
So what I heard was, I heard it on the Tom Hartman show, that Siegelman has been accused of trying to, you know, foment something from his jail cell, and I think what he's actually been trying to do is foment the truth and expose what, if it all adds up, is another case of the U.S. attorneys being used for political purposes. And if all this is true, it could fall right at the feet of Karl Rove as a stolen election.
Exactly. The woman's name, by the way, is Canary.
Canary, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, if you can find somebody that knows about that, it'd sure be interesting to find out about.
I'll work on it, Laird.
All right.
Thank you for the call. Now to Jake in Arcata, Eureka, a prolific writer of letters to the editor. I just caught up on your mail over the weekend, Jake.
Well, thank you, Peter V. I sent that just for you, of course.
Well, thank you. You write great letters, by the way.
Well, I appreciate the compliment. I'll keep it up.
Okay, please do. And are you hedging toward an announcement that you'll challenge Mike Thompson?
Well, you know, I've decided to give Mike Thompson some time to change his mind, to come to his senses, to support the impeachment of Bush and Cheney. So, you know, if Mike Thompson doesn't come around to where most Americans and definitely most Democrats are, yeah, I will be running against Mike Thompson for Congress, because clearly we have too many blue dogs in the Congress already. And as far as conservative Democrats go, that's fine. You know, I like to see conservative Democrats representing conservative areas. The north coast of California, however, is not a conservative area.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we need Mike Thompson in office anymore, to be honest.
All right, Jake. Well, my offer, I think I've made this before, but I'll make it again if I didn't. I would like to be your first contributor. When you open that campaign account, I will write a check for $100 American.
Well, thank you, Peter B. I appreciate that.
And I know that won't corrupt you.
Yeah, no, it won't. I'm not taking, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions like Mike Thompson, for instance.
Well, I won't cut the check on Peter B. Collins Incorporated, so you won't have that corporate thing hanging over you.
right. Hey, real quick. I heard Cheney's chief of staff, David Addington, says that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court will be eliminated if there's another terrorist attack.
That is what he said. Go to thinkprogress.org for the story.
Boy, that's scary. I would just let everyone know that, you know, Mike Thompson, he is the chairman of the House Intelligence Subcommittee, and this is what he recently said. He said there's also an opportunity to reexamine the continuation of warrantless surveillance. The House Intelligence Committee will be crafting new legislation to replace the flawed Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the law that governs the surveillance of foreign targets for intelligence purposes. So Mike Thompson, our Blue Dog Democrat, is on record as the subcommittee chairman saying he's going to replace FISA.
I got
to
stop here. Thank you, Jake. We'll talk again soon. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
You're listening to KRXA 540 and to a couple guys who are trying to get the radio station back to where it should be. And we will continue to work on that. But all your content should be here. We will be following with the CBS News in 30 seconds on KRXA 540 and then the Barry Lynn program and then 3 hours of Tom Hartman. So we will have all your favorite shows coming right up on KRXA 540. Don't forget to patronize our sponsors. We couldn't do it without them. They're all wonderful. If you hear an ad on KRXA, we would love it if you could just visit one of the sponsors and thank them for working with us. You're listening to KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Senator Larry Craig is having second thoughts. His spokesman, Sidney Smith, says the Idaho Republican is reconsidering his decision to resign after his arrest in an airport men's room sexting at the Minneapolis airport. Craig now wants to withdraw his guilty plea to a disorderly conduct charge. The outcome of that case, says Smith, along with an ethics investigation, makes the senator's future not such a foregone conclusion anymore. But political analyst Larry Sabato disagrees.
You cannot unring the bell. He has announced his resignation. Yes, he did say, I intend to resign, but everyone interpreted it as a resignation.
Craig was a no-show in Washington today as the Senate reconvened after its summer recess. Before long, it'll be dark in western Nevada, and Steve Fawcett is still missing.
We still consider this an active search and rescue operation.
Major Cynthia Ryan of the Civil Air Patrol says they'll keep searching until nightfall and resume at first light. The adventurer, who was the first to balloon solo around the world, took off yesterday morning in a single-engine plane. Friends say he planned to scout locations in the desert for an attempt to set a land speed record. Steve Fawcett is 63. It's lasted a week, and the heat wave in Southern California persists. CBS News correspondent Manuel Gallegos is in Los Angeles.
Yesterday in the San Fernando Valley, about 111 degrees. Today, about 105 with a breeze. So cooler, but not cool. And the heat is definitely causing problems.
The coroner now confirms a dozen heat-related deaths in L.A. County, with at least four elsewhere in the region. President Bush, after his visit to Iraq, flew on to Sydney, Australia, where he just wrapped up a meeting with Prime Minister John Howard. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer is covering.
The Bush-Howard meeting is rich in Iraq war symbolism. The Australian Prime Minister is the last of the major partners in what President Bush described as the coalition of the willing. Others, most notably former British Prime Minister Blair, paid a political price for backing the war. Howard is under intense political pressure, but he insists that, like the president, he'll stay the course in Iraq, where Australia has 550 troops on combat duty. The two leaders are also discussing climate change and trade ahead of the Asia-Pacific Economic Summit later this week. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president in Sydney.
Denmark says it's foiled a terror plot and arrested eight people with